Here in Florida, many Cuban Americans are waiting for the end of the Castro era. There's a feeling that the island will become more free, more democratic, and more open then. In Cuba, people are waiting for something else, the end of the U.S. embargo, which blocks American goods and, in the view of most on the island, hurts Cuba's economy and its people. We wanted to see Cuba at this moment, a country still being shaped by its past, but with anticipation building for what might be next. We saw this pull clearly in one town we visited. We're standing along the water in Mariel, Cuba. It's about 45 minutes east of Havana. I'm on a dock, and there are 7 or 8 young boys who are just having the time of their lives splashing in the water after a long school day. In 1980, this is the spot where more than 100,000 Cubans boarded boats and left this island for the United States. It was a moment that divided so many families between this island and Florida and other parts in the U.S. And now this place, Mariel, really important again. I'm looking across the water at all the structures of Mariel Port. I'm looking at some ships loading up shipping containers. The Cuban government says they are going to make this just the centerpiece of the economy in the coming years. The government's envisioning a major international shipping port and free trade zone, which could mean jobs for Cuban workers and a lot of tax money for the country. Brazil has already pumped nearly $1 billion into this expansion project. The teenage boys out here, they weren't born yet when those rusty boats carried people away in 1980. They only know the Mariel of today. What's going on over there?
Zona Franca, like a free zone.
Everybody talking about it?
Sí. Ha cambiado mucho.
He says it's changed a lot here.
The Mariel they know gives people a reason to stay. Do you guys want to work in shipping industry?
If he could work here, like on one of those ships, he'd love to. Handling one of those cranes.
Do you know anyone who works over there?
Sí. La mamá de un amigo mío.
The mom of one of his friends works as an engineer there.
Walking up from this waterfront park, you come into a town of cement and stucco houses. Some of the roofs are caving in, there's laundry hanging from wires. And there are few businesses, most people just sort of sitting outside on their porches, but there is something with a sign outside here on the left that says Restaurant Chin. It's a cramped cafe with just 4 tables where we ate stewed goat from a local farmer and also met the restaurant owner, O'Neill Lemus. He's a stocky man with a bushy gray mustache who knows Mariel's past.
Did you have any family who left?
His 19-year-old brother left.
O'Neill was 8 years old and asleep with no chance to say goodbye to his older brother.
He just left in the middle of the night, didn't tell anyone, and the next morning his mother and his father were crying. Because I think you don't recover from that, from losing someone like that. He has 2 daughters, one is 24 and the other is 28, and no se imagina como se.
No, si se me va, me vuelvo.
He says if they left, I would go crazy.
Of course, O'Neill has 2 other brothers who also left for the United States later.
Why do you think people leave?
I don't know.
Yo no me voy.
I'm not leaving. I've gone there, but I came back.
Mm-hmm.
I have my family here. I have my business. I'm not going to go there and invent a new life. I'm going to die here.
Unlike his brothers, O'Neill imagines a future in Cuba, in Mariel. And when he looks to that future, he looks out at that water, at the port that's being expanded. He says it will make people here feel very happy. They hope it will bring prosperity, and so does the Cuban government. The vision is that foreign firms will employ Cubans and bring in tax money, but partnering with a socialist government, well, that can be tricky. And we wanted to get a sense for whether Mariel can succeed. So in Havana, we went to the office of Hugo Pons Duarte, an economist who consults closely with the Cuban government. We asked him about one concern, that it will be expensive to hire labor because the government will be demanding a share of all the wages. Will Cuban workers be paid directly by these international companies?
No, through the employers, which will contract the Cuban workers and they will pay to the workers.
Do you worry that
foreign companies will not be so happy about, you know, that arrangement?
Well, I heard some people who work with foreign investors say that that is one of the main perceptions of some investors.
Those investors have to understand, he insisted, that Cuba's government is only acting with the interests of its workers in mind. Now, after arriving in the United States after our trip, we reached Richard Feinberg. He's a political economist who closely follows Cuba. I asked him how important it is for companies using Mariel to be able to access the U.S. market, which isn't possible with the American embargo in place.
Extremely important. In the short term, some firms may be willing to export to Latin America. For example, the Brazilian cigarette company that is going to invest in Mariel will be selling cigarettes back into the Brazilian market. But the logical geopolitical market for firms manufacturing in Cuba is without a doubt the eastern seaboard of the United States.
And yet, Brazil's government and companies close to it are already investing that $1 billion in Mariel. To understand why, we reached NPR's South America correspondent, Lourdes Garcia Navarro. She's done a lot of reporting in Cuba herself. She's based in Brazil, and I asked her why Brazil's so interested in Mariel.
Well, as you've seen firsthand in your reporting, David, Cuba is changing. And looking down the road, the Castro brothers won't last forever. And while the U.S. doesn't and won't invest in Cuba for now, other powers in the region are looking at what is coming. And Brazil is certainly one of them. The new Mariel port, as Julia Swy from the Council on Foreign Relations put it to me, is spitting distance from the U.S. And that port is a deeper water port than that of Houston. And so we've got the Panama Canal expansion coming down the pipeline, which will mean more trade flow. And so Brazil, via Cuba, will practically have its own port near U.S. shores. So it's a major geostrategic move. In the shorter term, it opens up the doors to trade with Central America and the Caribbean. Brazilian companies are moving aggressively throughout Latin America, especially companies like Odebrecht, which is constructing the port. So they're not in it for ideology. They're in it to get something out of it.
You know, we heard from a Cuban economist about some of the plans for this port. They're putting a lot of restrictions on, saying, for example, that foreign companies won't be able to just come in and hire Cuban workers. They'll have to do it through the government. Does that give some foreign companies pause?
Sure. Investing in Cuba potentially has great rewards, but it also carries a lot of risk. The Cuban government's policy on foreign investment is, and I think I'll say this politely, evolving. Mm-hmm. Big companies like Odebrecht, of course, have Brazil's government investment arm covering their losses, but smaller companies have more to lose. They don't have that backing.
Is there, I mean, you said that it's not necessarily about ideology, but is there some larger resonance that Cuba has in Latin America that might make a Latin American country say, you know, I would rather tighten my relationship with Cuba as opposed to building more ties with the United States?
Well, I don't think it's either or, but Cuba certainly has enormous sentimental power in Latin America. It's seen as a country that stood up to the U.S. despite an economic embargo, despite what they perceive as the threats of the United States. There's a great deal of resentment in this region over the USA's actions here over the decades, the bloody interventions to backing bloodier coups. And so an average person, I think, from this region admires Cuba.